Oh, it's so wonderful that he has grace for us, grace and mercy in time of need to help. Oh, we are so amazingly thankful for that. Now we want to have our responsive reading, and it'll appear on the screen there. It's from the book of Proverbs, starting at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
My son, hear the instruction of the father, and forsake not the law of thy mother.
For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit.
We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil.
Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse.
My son, walk not.
For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood.
Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird.
And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives.
So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away from the life of the owners thereof.
Morning, church. Will you bow your head and pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning and the fact that we can get here and that we can worship you. Lord, I just thank you for the pastor, his family, for this church, the congregation, and the fact that we can worship you. Grace, God's grace, we need your grace. We need your forgiveness for the sins. Lord, we want to repent from those sins, Lord. We ask that you, through your grace, you forgive us. And that's the promise that you've given us. Give us the faith to be real about that and know that you will forgive us. And that we walk in a way that honors you so other people who have not found your grace can see your light through us. That's all we ask for. So with words that we say, the way we live our lives, and what we do, how we treat each other, how we do everything, have us ask you for guidance, forgiveness, grace, wisdom, love, and faith. We need it all. And we don't have enough in our tank. We need you to fill it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Shown an amazing ministry, the things that we can do if we are filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. He showed what that could be, and he demonstrated that he was inaugurating the kingdom of God. And here the kingdom was. It was present in him, and now he dies on the cross. He allowed himself to be pinned to a Roman cross. He was pinned to a Roman cross where he bled and he died. He said, when it was over, it is finished. But the pain he went through, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The pain he went through, demonstrating, showing that he cared. He even told, take care of mom. What a God, what a God. And then he pillowed his head and he died. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for paying for my sin. Thank you, Lord, for paying for all that I would do, that I have done, and that I may do in the future. Oh, Lord, thank you. And you rose again. The third day he rose from the dead and is now, even now, making intercession for us. Thank you, Lord. Now speak to us today so that we might know how to live in light of that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do we live in light of that truth? How do we live with the wisdom of God? How do we live knowing all the things that we know, seeing all the things that we've seen, feeling all the things that we felt, going through all the things that have impacted our lives and have made us question everything? I feel like a bad sci-fi movie sometimes, you know? It's you know, what's next? Is it the murder hornets or the killer bees or the you know, maybe it's going to be a tornado or maybe it's going to be people that are frustrated with each other that clash, and I'm just in the middle of it all. What's it gonna be now, Lord? What a time that we live in. Lord, what are you doing here? What are you allowing here? Somehow I feel like we as the very people of God need to know how to be able to navigate. How do we walk through all of this? How do we get through all of this with some illusion of sanity? How do we get through all of this craziness? Because this is different. This is different. This is difficult. This is hard. So what do we do? I know this didn't surprise you, Lord. So what do? I know what we'll do. Why don't we turn to the Word of God? And we turn to the Word of God and see from the perspective of God, then we can sort out some of this stuff. I warn you, I probably will be an equal opportunity offender today because all of us have sinned. And it is so challenging. We want to take this very complex, on the surface, this is a complex issue. Yet people are giving simplistic answers to these complex issues. Well, that's crazy. One article I read somewhere, and I've read way too much stuff that means too little, but one article I read somewhere called it Simplexity. You know, we give the simplistic answers to this these difficult questions where people are, the reason they're so difficult is people have these raw emotions on all sides of that, and very few people feel they're being adequately heard. Very few people feel that they're being acknowledged. Very few people think that other people are thinking with any logic at all. And it's just an amazing time that we live in, whether it's whether we should be locked down or let loose, whether we should march in the streets or stay home on our knees, whether it's we should rejoice in the Lord always or mourn because others are mourning, whether we should, what we should do in the midst of all of this mess without giving in to all of the stress. How do we now live? This is the time that we need to hear from God. I don't know about you, but I have determined that we need to surrender ourselves to God. If there was ever a time that we should give ourselves as living sacrifices, we take ourselves, lay ourselves on the altar and say, Lord, I'm a dumb sheep and I'm just dead to all of this stuff. I need to be alive to you. I'm a living sacrifice. You have your way. Live your life through me so that what people see glorifies you, Father. What people see raises you up, Father, because these are hard issues, and I understand the people that are all around me that are in pain and crying and confused and angry and wanting their own way, whatever way that happens to be. We give ourselves as sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God. That's just our reasonable service, isn't it? That's what our spiritual service is supposed to be like. We don't want to be conformed to this world. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we might prove, demonstrate, show what is that acceptable will of God. What's right? What's right? I have this desire to do what's right, to say what's right, to be what's right. But you know, there's this secret thing that you find underneath the hood sometimes. Not only do I want to be what's right, I'll tell you a little secret. I want you to think I'm right too. Tell you a little secret. I want you to think the way that I do. And realizing that helped me understand how we should look at this thing. Turn with me to the first chapter of Proverbs. For the next quarter or so, we'll be going through the book of Proverbs, and Jen, at the end of the quarter, we'll also do a couple weeks on the Song of Solomon. Proverbs is a fascinating book. It was primarily written by Solomon, but there are a couple of other authors that drop in bits, and the book was probably not finished until quite a bit after Solomon's death. But primarily, it's written by Solomon, a book that's given to help his sons and others to walk in wisdom. Wisdom is an important thing. Wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. It's really interesting. There's it seems to be deeper and deeper levels of wisdom. It's one thing to know that there is a cord and electric socket. That's knowledge. It's another level to know that if you stick that cord into that electric socket, that's another level. That's maybe a first level wisdom. But then there's the wisdom of knowing that you can turn on the machine once you've stuck the cord in. It just keeps going deeper and deeper. And we need to consider that. This is fascinating, deep wisdom that comes from God. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I want to tell you something, and you need to grasp this. If you don't have a healthy fear of God, anything you know is suspect. Anything that you think you understand may be twisted. Anything that you think you've grasped, maybe you ought to think again, because it's you don't know anything until you have an awe for God. That you realize that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day, or speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. This word of God that we have is what we have to do with, and until we've heard from him, we really don't know what's going on. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I have been challenged lately by so many people that have been seduced into trying to solve the problems that are obvious in our society without God. Now, we're talking about people who are spiritual, that are good people, that love the Lord, that think of him, that actually maybe even preach his word and teach his word and sing his word, people that actually care, they think. And maybe they do, but as I hear the solutions that they're offering, they are not coming from here. They're coming from the things that they can think of. They're coming from the things that they can look at. They're coming from the things that they can assess with their own mind, not pushed through the filter of the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to dividing a soul and spirit. That simply means that the Word of God can parse life out. It can help you to truly understand. And so our first duty must be to understand what the Word of God is saying. Our first duty is to take the time to allow the Word to read us as we read the Word. We need to allow the Word to keep us in bounds and to help us to go deep and to help us to be clear about life, this wonderful Word of God. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We've got so many people that don't want to be told anything. You tell somebody today, stay inside. You can't tell me. Don't march there. No, I'll march where I want to. Don't destroy somebody's property. I'll destroy it if I think it's right. I will do whatever I think is right. You know, it sounds like the book of Judges. Everybody was doing what they wanted to. Everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. Everybody was taken over by the current circumstance, or maybe the prevailing circumstance that's been going on for year after year after year. Everybody is just doing their own thing, their own way, without considering what the Word of God has to say. That, by the Bible's definition, is the actions of a fool. And we need to understand that. Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Fathers here in this room, fathers listening, fathers, maybe we need to apologize to our kids. Maybe we need to apologize to our community. Maybe we ought to admit that we have not been all that we are supposed to be. The Bible tells us to train up our children in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they would not depart from it. Have we successfully trained them? Have we lived in such a way that truly glorifies God? Have we lived in such a way that our children see what it is to be courageous and see what it is to be godly, see to what it is to be walk righteously, see what it is to treat other people fairly, see what it is to live in a way that is honest and right? Have we taught our children to think? Have we taught our children what to do with the real feelings they have? Sometimes we have feelings inside of us that we don't know how to handle. Fathers, have we been teaching our children in the way that they should go? I feel for the generation after me because I'm not sure I did it the way that I should be. Babies, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've not been all that I can be, but I'll stand today and be what I should be. Amen. Mothers, have we talked to our daughters and our sons in a way that helped them to grasp the truth of the Word of God? Have we lived before them in such a way that they see it's worthwhile to be honest, that they see it's worthwhile to be modest, that they see it's worthwhile to live a life of righteousness, that they see that we are not gossips, that they see that we are not liars, that they see that we believe and have faith, a faith that is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, so that when we sit around the dinner table and pray, things happen? You know, if we pray for rain, everybody in the house ought to get an umbrella. Because at some point it's going to happen, because we are living our lives so in line with the truth. We expect that God is answering. So when we tell them to hear the instruction of our fathers and to not forsake the law of our mothers, that's true. So as you find people that have real godly wisdom, listen to them. Let's listen to those that have true wisdom, not just those that are articulate in a worldly way. There's some voices out there that are very, very, very smooth talking. They've got some really, really good stuff. And in whatever position you want to take, there's somebody out there that'll build you up. Whatever position you take, there's somebody out there that will take you to the edge and push you right on off. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. This wisdom, this instruction, those things, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, a crown of grace. It's going to be chains about thy neck. It will be, you will live a life of honor. You'll have grace, that undeserved favor, that amazing empowerment to go through life the way that you should. You'll have that power. That power is available to you today. There's power for you to live today. We are not victims. We are not victims. We are more than conquerors by whom who has empowered us to live, to move. It's in him I move and walk and have my very being. He's God all by himself, and I'm excited to know that he's good to me. So, we have grace, verse 10. We need to hear this verse. You know, there's a challenge in our lives that we really take this Bible and it doesn't, it's not connected to our lives. We think it's a bunch of really nice sayings and makes a lot of sense, but we've not really sown our lives into it. We've not really got it. We didn't know that it, you mean me? you mean it, you're talking about me? Yeah, I'm talking about you today. I'm talking about you today. It says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I am disturbed by people who are so readily following after people that are obviously not walking in line with God. Now, I'm not saying that whatever side it is that they're not saved, because they may proclaim Christ, and even Christians can be live carnal lives. Evidently, we can be carnal, and somehow we're not living up to what the sovereign God has called for us. I get that. I understand that. But I am amazed that so many of us as Christians, so many of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are choosing to live after someone. You know, maybe it's a Facebook post. And in that Facebook post, they are just saying just the thing that you kind of believe and kind of resonates with you. And in that Facebook post, in writing, they swear. Well, you ought to just turn that off. You ought to say, oh, they're not righteous. Oh, they're not doing the right thing. Maybe I ought to just stop and pray for them, because although they seem to have some good ideas, they've gone off the rails. But instead, we excuse their behavior. Instead, we seem to think it's okay. Instead, maybe we go there with them. Instead of walking in love, which thinks no ill of its neighbor, we begin looking at our neighbors suspiciously. Looking out from behind the blinds to find out if they're wearing their mask. Checking to see if maybe they've got a Confederate flag shirt somewhere. Checking to see if they have been hoarding chloroquine. I don't know. It gets crazy the way that we look at each other, the way that we behave toward each other. Opinions are good. You need to be thinking people about stuff. And you need to realize that there are credible people coming from all sides, coming from all kinds of backgrounds, coming with all kinds of baggage, sometimes baggage that is so heavy and so high it blinds them. Sometimes it's stuff that is so shiny and bright that it blinds them so that they can't see, they can't hear, they can't understand, but they are people made in the very image of God, and we are tasked with loving them, and if we love them, we are to be praying for them so that we can lead them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And leading them to a relationship with Jesus Christ does not mean that they always agree with the things that we have culturally. They may still act in ways that make us scratch our head, but I don't care if they are going to heaven. That's what we're all about. We forget what we're about. We get so distracted by the stuff, getting our own ways, wanting what we want, the way that we want it, when that we want it, how that we want it. If you find people like that trying to entice you, come over to my side. Join my club. Be in my group. There's nothing wrong with being a part of a group. We can all go join Wendelin's Garden Club. Just as long as they don't want to plant marijuana. You see, it's not the idea of getting together. It's whether the idea is righteous or not. Whether or not that the outcome, if it goes the way that it's supposed to go, will be a righteous outcome. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. It's exciting. It's exciting. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Oh, when I was a kid, I went to a basketball game. We had some tremendous basketball teams, all over the city, there were really guys who were just excellent. And I remember one year we were playing East. And Albert Manigault and I went to a game. It was a great game. My brother-in-law showed out. And it was just like really a lot of fun. And I remember coming out of the game, walking down, and someone hit me over the head with a bottle. I wanted to fight. Albert was wiser than I was. Albert looked around, and there were 20 or 30 guys surrounding us. And Albert said, David, another time, come with me. But I'm not taking it. Come with me. And Albert was a big man. So I said, okay. Now, were those kids from East, all just horrible kids? Were they just nasty individuals, and anybody that went to that school should be destroyed, locked up, the animals? No. But they had allowed themselves to be gathered into a foolish thing. That somehow they thought kids from the north side could be hurt. They thought it was okay. It was somehow acceptable. These ones who would grow on to be men and leaders and strong and even wise, somehow they had been drawn in to actions that were absolutely reprehensible. And you know, we're grown up and we're still acting like kids today. Some get drawn into a show of strength to demonstrate you can't take any more of our rights. We've had enough. Some of us get drawn into a show of strength where, because we're frustrated with the system, we can deface other people's property, that we can burn things. Some of us get drawn in to thinking it's okay to speak ill of our neighbor, even if we don't know our neighbor. Some of us get drawn in to saying things that are racist, that are mean, that are cruel, that are foolish. Some of us get drawn in to being afraid of our own shadow so we can't even go outside. Some of us get drawn in to every kind of emotion and feeling that does not promote the goodness of God and has us thinking of people in a way that doesn't allow us to find a way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not have the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. And our job is, as we are going through this world, to make disciples of all nations. All nations. Every ta ethnos. Every people group. How are you walking through this world today? Are people being drawn closer to each other because of the way that you're behaving? Or are you so in love with your own opinion, whatever opinion that is, that you can't stand them enough to hear them, to love them, to care for them, whoever they are? As you know and you can see, I have friends on every side of this issue, whatever the issue is at the moment. And it's taxing and tiring. Because I hear people. I sleep well generally, but I've been having a hard time going to bed. Because my mind can't quiet. I've got so much to do, but my mind is racing with all of these thoughts, all of these things that are pressing in on my heart. I hear the word of God telling me to love. I hear the circumstances that show me frustration. Frustrating things, people being murdered in the street, officers being disrespected and hurt and sometimes even killed, people that have no tolerance for each other, things that I wouldn't like. And then there are people and the things that they're saying and dressing it up in biblical language. Listen, if you're going to tell a lie, please don't start with the gospel. That infuriates me. And then I see Satan behind it all going, he's like, oh, this is great. These people are nuts, and I'm going to just push them a little bit further. Here, go a little further. Oh, don't go too far because they'll think you're crazy. We don't want that. We just want you to go far enough just so that Christ, who was crucified for you, Christ, who was spit upon, Christ, who was whipped, Christ, who took upon all the sins of the world, he took on your sins, but you know, he took on their sins as well. And if we don't learn to forgive each other, yeah, it's about time they forgave me. After, you know, really. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Yeah, let's get rid of all of them. And then one day you realize, oh my goodness, I'm one of the them. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. that helped click for me. It helped click. It's really about us. All of this going on is really about us. There are those that are frustrated that they don't have what someone else seems to have, and they want it, so they're coveting it. They've made an idol out of this thing. And then there are those who have something and are afraid that somebody's going to take what they have. And because they're afraid of what somebody's going to take what they have, they're trying to protect it. So actually what we've got is a bunch of people trying to hold on to their idols. A bunch of people making what the stuff, whatever that stuff is, more important than God. Who are you worshiping today? What you worshiping today? You worshiping the stuff? You worshiping your rights? You worshiping what others have? You worshiping how you feel about things? What are you worshiping today? Who are you worshiping today? We are more than this. We are a royal priesthood, and we dare stand between man and God, imploring God for man, oh Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. I've been a sinner and I've been lost, and I understand, and without your grace, not a single one of us can make it. If you don't initiate, Lord, if you don't draw us, we can't make it. If you don't call us, we can't come. Lord, help us. But I stand before man saying, God says, we need to be holy. Without holiness, we are not right. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I stand before man and God, a bridge to be crawled over, and being a bridge is painful. It hurts. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. I'm not calling you today to easy. I don't have a little easy button and we push it and everything get right. I'm calling you to holiness. I'm calling you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, so he has the right to tell us what to do, when to do, and how to do, and we give up a will of our own. Savior. Recognizing that we need him and we don't have the strength to manufacture our own salvation. We don't have the strength to fix it ourselves. If we don't beseech him, we're going to hate everybody sooner or later. I kind of like this whole pandemic thing. I could hide in my office. But God's not allowing that. I have to come out and love you. And I dare you to love me. Verse 14. Casting thy lot among us, let us have all one purse. When they tell you that, they want the purse. You watch out. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't follow after every foolish thing that's out there. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't march if you feel like you really should march, but you be careful about who you're marching with, and that you don't do everything that they do and you stay out of the way. Because you don't want to become like that. That doesn't mean that you don't write your congressman, but when you write your congressman, you make sure it's done in a respectful way. That doesn't mean that you could choose to do different than I might do. It's okay. It's okay. That's one of the great blessings that we have, but the way that you do it must be done in a way that glorifies God. Please, please, he's worthy. He's worth it. He's been worth it for me to hold my tongue sometimes. He's been worth it for me to care about those that don't seem to care for themselves. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. We're so ready for somebody else to die. In fact, some of us are so ready to throw our own lives away. What insanity is that? Surely, you got to see the trap of Satan in this. Don't you? I want you to see the trap of Satan in all of this. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. There's a net out there, and we can see it. I'm telling you, there's a trap out there for us. There's a trap out there for you. Yeah, Pastor, I agree with you. Please don't do it. There's a trap out there. Let us, as men and women who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not be drawn down into a trap that will suck us away from our calling. We've got stuff to do. There are people to be fed. There are people to be won to the Lord. There are things that we can affect that God wants to affect through us. He wants to spread his glory throughout all the earth, and he does that by people. And I'm going on a little bit here. So they lay in wait for their own blood. They're almost suicidal. They lurk privily, quietly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, trying to get their own way. Gain, my own way, my own stuff. The getting out my frustration on others, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. What are you giving your life for today? What are you giving your life for today? What's really mattering to you? What are you surrendering yourself? Are you even living for something? Or are you just living to live, existing to exist? We've been called here to teach, preach, heal. We teach people about the greatness and wonder of our God. We preach the word of God, the truth of God, declaring this is how it is. But even in the midst of all that, we step into a hurting place and say, be healed, be fed. What does the Lord require of thee? To love mercy. Act righteously and walk humbly before our God. But it starts with knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hopefully by next week, we'll be able to take communion together. We'll be able to do the Lord's Supper together. But you can't truly do that if you don't know him. If you come to him, he won't cast you out. So, if you confess with your mouth, agree with him, in other words, and believe in your heart that your life begins to reflect that truth. He's sanctifying you and changing you, but you're beginning to reflect that truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you too shall be delivered in this tumultuous time. Wherever you are, this is your chance. If God is touching your heart at this time, and you could just stay where you're at, but if God is touching you at this time, feel free to stand so that we might pray for you. We don't need to know all your business. But the reality is, if you are going through this, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So this is the day. Church, let's get right with God.